T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Made this here with all the ice on in the booth. At the gate outside, when they pull up, they give me loose. Yeah, jump out.
NFL Sunday here on WEEI will get you ready for the New England Patriots hosting the New York Jets at Gillette Stadium. We're in hour two of Gresh and Keith on this Patriots Friday on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, and anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, Patriots running back Damian Harris, brought to us by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. By Bill DeLuca, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram. DeLuca's got the deals. And Zuti, build any app for your company in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details. Damian Harris, welcome back. How are you feeling, friend?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're good, and a performance out of you last week as well. I know there was some questions as to how dinged up you were. What would the performance be like? To us, you looked like you. Did you feel like you out there against the Cowboys?
I felt great. You know, I just wanted to get out there and compete with this team. It's a long season, and it's a tough game that we play in. You know, you're always going to be a little dinged up. You know, you're never going to feel as good as you do, the first day of training camp. So you just got to roll with the punches. You got to show mental and physical toughness. And that's all I wanted to do. I knew this was a big game, and I knew that we wanted to go out there and compete and play a hard game. So I just wanted to be able to be out there with my teammates, with this team. Just go out there and give it everything that I had.
Is losing a game in overtime, Damian, even tougher than just, let's say you lose, a game by 20 points? Is it harder to get over a close overtime loss just because it could really have come down to just one or two plays?
At the end of the day, you never want to lose. I mean, regardless of how it is or, the circumstances, that's just not what we want to do. But, last week is behind us. We got a tough game this week, this Sunday, so. We're looking forward, and it's really what it's about. Moving on. We're playing a great team this week, and that's what our focus has been on all week.
Is it easier to prepare for a team that you saw just a couple of weeks ago, or do you have to be conscious as to not only how you all have grown offensively, but how far they've come along defensively? I'm curious for you just saw these guys not too long ago, and how does that affect preparation?
Every week, regardless of who you play, you got to prepare, obviously, to the best of your ability. No two games are ever going to be the same, even if you're playing the same team twice. So we know that. And, this game, regardless of what happened in the last game, we have to prepare just as if it was the first time we're playing them or if we were playing any other team. Because, like I said, no two games are going to be the same. And every week you're presented with different challenges. And, that's just the way it's always been. So. We did our best to prepare this week. We got another day of practice today and a couple of days before the game starts. So we're just going to keep preparing, keep getting ourselves ready. That way we can play our best football this coming Sunday.
Do you ever get frustrated on fourth and short when you see the punt team come out that, you guys on offense aren't given a chance to pick that up?
Our coaches obviously have the best interest of the team in mind whenever they make those decisions. So we know that, we're confident in that, and obviously whatever the coaches decide is best for our team, that's what we believe in, and we just play the next play moving forward.
Are you a lobbyer, as in you're sitting in a meeting where you look at a coach and be like, come on, Ivan, you give hot fire on Zoom, Come on, like help us out here. I want that carry. Does lobbying, is that something that would be in your personality behind closed doors to want to be in that moment?
Like I said, whatever the coaches decide is in the best interest of our team, that's what's best for us. I mean, all these coaches have seen a lot of football. They know a lot of these coaches have coached for longer than some of us guys have been alive. I know me personally. So, again, we have the trust in the coaches have the trust in us, and ultimately whatever they decide is best for our team, you know, that's what happens. And like I said, we got to just go out there and play the next play.
And obviously you play the Jets week two. Has a lot changed on their side when you're watching their defense and their, I know they had a bye week this past week, but in the five games or the four games after that, have you noticed much difference from the week two?
I mean, although it's the same team, you know, they do things a little bit different here and there. But that's just how it goes over the course of a season. You know, teams identify what they're good at, what they need to improve on, especially coming off a bye. So we know a little bit of what to expect from them. Obviously, you know, we've played them before, but as I said earlier, every game is different. So we know there's going to be a little bit of unknowns when we go out there. But ultimately, if we go out there and prepare, you know, this week, prepare the best that we can, and we go into the game on Sunday and we're alert, we're ready to play, we're ready to go, you know, from the first play to the last play, all 60 minutes, you know, we're confident that our preparation and our hard work will carry us through whatever challenges and we may face in the game, whatever may come up that's, you know, new or a little bit different, or if it's some of the same stuff that we've seen before, you know, we'll be able to try to handle that as well as we can also.
Patriots running back Damian Harris with Gresh and Keefe here on Patriots Friday. Damian joins us on the Harbor One hotline. Winless at home, how does that not become a part of the thought process? Is that easy to block out? Or in the back of your mind, is it always there? Because that's very unpatriot-like.
At the end of the day, you know, all we're focused on is this next game. Can't worry about what happened in the past. You know, the first 6 weeks of the season is over. All we can do is look forward and look to improve throughout the rest of the season. And that starts with this Sunday when we play the Jets. So that's what our focus has been all week. That's what it'll be on Sunday. And, you know, throughout the course of the rest of the season, you know, we'll just take it one game at a time, one day at a time, and just continue to try to improve the best that we can.
Damian, I'm sure you are familiar with the movie Step Brothers. Your teammate Mac Jones on our afternoon show, Maloney and Fourier, was asked last week basically who would be the stepbrother if you were to make up the movie poster, and your boy Mac didn't have the answer right away. However, he did follow up with Maloney and Fourier this week, and we want you to take a listen to what Mac said.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know why I didn't even say this last week, but probably Damian, just because, you know, we're really close and we go back all the way, and he's just like a big brother to me. So, you know, we're funny together. We have those moments where we're like stepbrothers. Me and Damian, that's how we are, and he's a great friend, and I think we would make a great movie, so maybe one day.
Have you ever yelled with Mac Jones, "Mom, where's the meatloaf"?
Honestly, I'm sure we have once or twice. Definitely in our college days, we did. But, you know, Mac's a great kid. Obviously, everybody knows our story. Since day one, we've been best friends. You know, I do consider him like a younger brother, a little brother that I never had. So, you know, I love being able to come to work with him every single day. You know, we focus so much on what goes on the field and the X's and O's and, you know, what happens on the football field. But I think a great part of this game is the relationships that you form, the bonds that you build, and the people that you meet, and that, you know, those relationships can carry out, you know, carry on through the rest of your life. And I know that Mac is a guy that, you know, 30, 40, 50 years down the road, we're still going to be the same that we've always been, you know, that little stepbrother mentality. You know, who knows, maybe we'll make a movie together one day. But Mac, like I said, he's like a little brother to me, and he's been a great friend. Obviously, he's been a great teammate, a tremendous leader for our team. So very fortunate to have that relationship with him and to be able to continue to work with him every single day.
Yeah, we'll tag you the stepbrothers graphic that we had made up for our Twitch stream. I think you'll enjoy it. Good luck this weekend, Damian Harris. We'll catch you next week, hopefully. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There we go.
Thanks, Damian.
There's Damian Harris with us on the Harbor One hotline. We'll make sure to get that out there
as
well.
If Damian and Mac did a movie together, wouldn't the only concern be it would be too funny? I mean, those guys are a couple of, they leave me in stitches every
time.
Yeah,
but I would think that Mac would be able to pull the funny out of Damian.
I mean, those
bit.
Guys are pretty like slapstick when you hear them on the air. I can only imagine the shenanigans they get up to.
Mac's voice doesn't go. He's in second gear all the time with his voice, yeah. Unless he's on the field. But he is funny. Like he is.
Is that
actually,
a Southern thing? You think?
I think
sort of like the his. That's like his cadence.
That's a ridiculous question.
Yeah, we don't. I don't think.
I bet these guys. I mean, I can only imagine them kind of. You know.
I would say with Mac, it's
what
not,
they would get up to.
It's not slack jawed yokel.
No, it's not
but
that.
But it's definitely and his laugh too. The like Mac's kind of got one of those laughs that. Uh-huh. People would highlight, and that would be the movie, wouldn't it? Is that Mac would be pulling the fun?
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
Well, no one's Norm MacDonald.
No, I don't know if they're doing that.
And
but,
I almost made a Baldwin joke when they said about doing a movie, but I said that today's not the day.
You.
Well, there's a lot wrong with me.
That's
but,
true.
But for those who are following that, it was actually covered very well on the Greg Hill Show.
They were all
morning.
Over. They even had an expert from the Screen Actors Guild come on.
Oh, sorry. Where's the Meatloaf is in Step Brothers.
That's
oh,
from Old
bad.
School.
Oh. Was it Old School?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm sorry. Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers. All right, good. Sorry, so we all crashers. Got it wrong.
Same cast.
Yeah, whatever. You're that's good. Right. John C. Reilly.
It's all Will
so.
Ferrell in all of them.
Well, that's the thing is that it's Will yeah. Ferrell. So sorry for you thespians. Fine. Next time we'll just stick to, hey, why don't you break down third down instead of trying to have some fun. We'll stick to that. Be on about 2.5 minutes, and the texters can shove it.
My guess is he's just gonna do what's best for the team.
I would think so.
That's sort of the big takeaway there.
Well,
that's a good Coach Belichick question.
It is a good
well,
question.
When we have
question.
Him on,
when Greg Hill in the morning show,
that's
will
right,
catch up with Bill Belichick at 6:30 on Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It is Game 6 of the American League Championship Series tonight. Don't forget 7:07 pregame, 8:07 first pitch right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Now let's get to the microbrew.
Yeah,
our microbrew 4-pack of questions that we ask each and every week based on the Patriots opponent, and of course this week it is the New York Jets, and a guy who doesn't get movie quotes wrong and is a new songbird of a generation.
Not new.
Shime will be. Well, but some people are just finding you.
Finally like, let's confirmed.
Start, yeah, true. Callum Scott yeah. and his 250,000 Twitter followers exposed you to their world. So,
that's true.
You know, let's not
he
act.
Even commented on my Instagram post. That's how you know
all over the place.
Right, exactly.
Nice guy.
Uh-huh. So you are being exposed to more people for the other side of you. See, here you're just the guy who makes all the bets.
The ticklish fat guy who makes all the bets.
You're
I kind of hate this guy now.
Thin in the waist and thick in the thighs, thin in the waist, thick in the face, all that stuff as
yes,
well.
Sir.
All right.
What's the first thing you think of when you hear New York Jets?
I mean, pretty easy one for me. Butt fumble. Butt fumble is the first thing you think of
wow.
with the New York Jets is Mark Sanchez running face first into the backside of his guard.
That's a great
fumble,
one.
Turnaround score. I think that, I mean, there's a lot, like you play him twice a year and it's just, you know, it's not even a rivalry. They want it to be a rivalry, but there's probably a lot of things that jump out, but that to me, if it's just
more
one.
More than in Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator, you got a busted play here. And then
oh, no.
and Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose, and it's alive. And then going into the end zone is Steve Gregory, who's had an interception, 2 fumble recoveries,
oh,
and a touchdown.
Gosh. Is going to throw Brandon Moore back into his quarterback. He's going to fumble the football. This is what Reggie White used to do to people. Forklift.
Yeah, they
yes,
left out
Max
the part
Lane.
That his face went directly into the bum of Brandon Moore and led to a so butt fumble to me. That sums up the Jets.
There are two things that I think of with the Jets, and I can't separate them because they're both coach-related. One is writing on, like, an old receipt in his yeah. wallet, I resign as HC of the NYJ, will forever stick with
it's
me.
Pretty incredible.
But also, let's go... Now let's go eat a GD snack.
Yeah, they had a good Hard Knocks. They had a really good Hard Knocks.
One
that
of
year.
The best.
One of the best Hard Knocks.
I would
Rex
say to
Ryan,
you, if I said to you, over the all the years of Hard Knocks, the three moments that gave you memory burn, isn't one of them Rex Ryan with
let's
that?
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Yeah, one of them's from the same year, Antonio Cromartie trying to name his kids. Those were on the same season, so those were two of the best moments.
Can you believe
right
that was 11 years ago now?
Pretty wild.
Yeah, Alonzo. Who is 5? I have Karis, who is 3. I have my junior, which is 3. I have my daughter who just turned 3 as of yesterday.
No name.
I have another son named Tyler. He turns 3 in December. I got another daughter that was born October 16th named London. Another daughter that was born named Leilani, who's 2 years old. And I have my newborn with my wife. Her name is Jersey.
That's not one of them. I mean, there's no name there. He's got like 5 3-year-olds. Anyway, that's one of the all-time great moments.
Was he
also
hanging out with Forrest Gump?
I don't know what he was doing. I don't know.
Out there slaying. What else we got there, Scrim?
What current player from the Jets would you want on the Patriots?
Oh, my God.
So, none. I'd rather have 2 from any other team than one.
Let's dig deep on this
one. I don't know if he's a true number one, but he's a hell of a lot better than Nelson Agholor. I'll go Corey Davis. I'll take Corey Davis. I don't know if he's a complete game changer, but I'd take Corey Davis, I guess.
For me, it would be Mekhi Becton, because get yourself a left tackle that, you know, blocks out the sun. And I
is
know
he
that he's
good,
hurt,
or is he just
I
big?
I think he's good.
Okay.
I do think he's good. At worst, okay, could Mekhi Becton be Trent Brown? Like, I know he was drafted
but then
to be
again,
a stud
it's
left
like,
tackle.
Is he going to be as fragile as Trent Brown?
Yeah, that's the worry, because he definitely is a largo. You know, you could always go with one of the defensive linemen. But, see, I think Becton's going to be good. But I also think Becton might be the kind of guy who, like you kind of said, like has either size or weight issues.
Yeah.
And will start to, like, figure it out in year 3 and 4 as
possible
to how much work he's got to put in to be able to not play at like 380 pounds, which, you know, that guy can kind of pull off even at this level because he's so massive.
It's a bad roster, though. I mean, you go up and down it, and you're like, and because I never liked Zach Wilson a lot coming out anyway. Like, to me, he was below Lawrence Fields and who's the other guy? Lance. Like, he was below all those guys to me, and yet there's nobody I really want. I guess Corey Davis.
So you guys are out on Quinnen Williams and C.J. Mosley?
Quinnen Williams would have been the other one.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of the Patriots roster. And, yes, they could use a D lineman. But, boy, a franchise left tackle would fit the bill right now, considering you got Mac. And he's getting smizzled out there.
And Mosley's always hurt, it feels like, too. And then he's going to be – he's actually probably – I think he's 29, but he's probably not going to be great for much longer.
I would agree with you on that. You got to go younger.
Old school Jets jersey you'd most want to have.
Now, I know that we answered this the first time around on the whole Jets jersey you would want. So
no,
that's
we didn't.
Why
we didn't start this till week 3.
Well, oh, we didn't?
Yeah,
I thought
so
we did
do the
old
Jets
school.
Yet.
Oh, that's
we
why
didn't
I put
do Jets
in,
yet.
Oh, that's why I put in old school. So there we go. All right, then. Boy. Hard not to, like, for me, I remember those old Jets, like, Joe Klecko and dudes like that.
But
Mark
York Sack
Gastineau. Exchange. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably want to go Gastineau just because there'd be a lot of youngs who would be like, who was that guy? And be like, well.
Gastineau. You see one of those jerseys every once in a while, though.
Once
that
in
is a
while.
Jersey you see. That
he would be a guy that if you put him in modern football right now, the way he could get after the quarterback, like that's a guy who would have fit. And I will admit that for me, you know, growing up in Western Pennsylvania and you're looking from afar and it's like, oh, what are the New York Jets? Okay, it was either Joe Namath because of where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But Gastineau was that guy where you're like, oh, he's making the flashy plays and
that's
all that
one.
Stuff.
Yeah.
He was that first New York pass rusher that at least burned in my well before Gap-Tooth Strahan.
So this is one where the Jets I've never liked at all, clearly. And so it'd be a tough jersey to wear at any point just because it's a Jets jersey. But if I'm picking one, Keyshawn Johnson.
Oh.
Give me the Keyshawn Johnson, number 19. And I remember reading his book, doing a book report in 8th grade on Just Give Me the Damn Ball. Yes.
What a choice.
Oh, it was a great book.
Sure, the teachers.
I mean, I caught a ball in every game I ever played.
Sure, the teachers loved that.
Are you black?
Well, no, but I still would wear the Keyshawn number 19 jersey.
Would
well, so
you
now y'all playing radio.
The
got
number
it.
One overall pick in the 96 draft.
And then got
wide
into
receiver.
A fight with a guy from Hofstra.
And yet was a good, like, Parcells loved him, though. It was funny because Parcells didn't want Terry Glenn because Parcells was here in the 96 draft, right, which is a big wide receiver draft. He takes Glenn, complains about it, or they took Glenn. But then when he went to the Giants, or Jets loved him so much that even when he went to the Cowboys, he took him there, too.
Yeah, it's pretty. Parcells, you could tell that that was the pick where it was like, okay, that's where I should get to make the pick. That was the shop for the groceries pick with Terry Glenn and the whole, Parcells.
Great. Yeah, not great.
Just digging it. Oh, and then, but also AFC playoffs, first play, Rod Woodson, see you later. Terry Glenn runs right by him, and they throw the ball down the field. So very typical of a head coach to kind of work both sides of the street on that. Mm-hmm. Would you wear a Darrell Revis jersey, half Jets, half Patriots?
I wouldn't wear a half and half jersey of any.
You wouldn't at all.
No, that's the dumbest looking jersey in the world.
Even those Tom Brady ones,
I hate
too.
The Brady ones. Ugly. Gronk, whatever. Those are gross.
But you're celebrating the player. That's why I asked.
No, the only person who can get away with it was when Devin McCourty's mom would wear like the half and half.
Well,
then
you,
great.
If you have
twin sons who are in the league, you are allowed to wear that.
You get dispensation.
Nobody else can wear hatchets. You got to pick one. Pick a city.
Enough.
That's it.
What about a nice Lavernius Coles jersey?
I don't hate that.
That's kind of where I would probably
the only one I would wear, and it's because of the Hall of Fame aspect.
Magnum Dong.
Frank Gore. I would wear a Frank Gore any jersey. I'd go fourth as well. I'd go San Francisco, Indy, Frank Buffalo, Gore. Jets in fourths.
Yeah. There should be, like, you know how there's those guys that would dress up in all the Jaromir Jagr jerseys? There'd be, like, 12 Jagrs for all the different teams. Start doing that with Frank Gore.
Pretty much. Like,
yeah,
he's on the way. Mm-hmm. By the way, we had people saying that somebody wants a Wiggy Jets jersey.
Someone wanted Al Toon as
Al
well.
Al Toon.
That's a good
Another
one.
Another very good one.
That's a great one.
Brother of Car.
What's some pizza?
Brother of Car.
Car, yeah, right.
Their son,
and I'm just thinking of a joke.
I tried to get that in before the wiki drop.
Their son's name is Nick Toon.
Oh, very nice.
This Jets team definitely can't make the Super Bowl, but can they get the number one pick?
Yeah, they definitely can. They can definitely get the number one pick. I don't know how they beat the Titans. It doesn't make any sense.
That really screwed up their season.
It kind of did. Because aren't you looking at Detroit Lions, Giants, Jets, Jaguars, Texans?
Yep.
The number one pick is going to go to one of those five teams.
And the Lions are off to a rousing start in getting the number one pick again.
They're out in front. They're out in front right now.
But if there's a team that has all the elements to be able to do it, it's the Jets, in that what good players they have, they might get some offers for this week, considering the trade deadline is approaching in the NFL.
All five of those teams could punt away some players.
Yep.
But also worth noting is the Jets play Houston and Jacksonville later in the year. So those head-to-head games will really help determine.
I mean,
but yeah, they definitely could. They got the number one pick.
If you're trying to put out starting lineups in those games and you know you want that number one pick, how do you manipulate that? Hey, you know, we'll have the kid throw 50 times. He'll throw five to the other team.
Those are gonna
and it'll guarantee a win. Yes, they absolutely could end up with the number one pick. And if you're the Jets and you end up with a top three pick this year once again with another young head coach and another young offensive coordinator and another young quarterback, it's going to be real interesting to see the road they go down. So Patriots, Jets, it's at 1 o'clock on Sunday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We are all over it on NFL Sunday, getting you ready for that Patriots game. Right now, Shime is ready to trend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Like the show? Of course you do. Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Long go. Fight for the rebound. Rose tips it. Ball still alive. Chuck misses again. Rand on the rebound with 3.8. That'll do it. The Knicks survive in double overtime.
It was a hell of a season opener for the Boston Celtics down in New York, losing 138-134 in double overtime. Well, tonight it's the home opener. Celtics will welcome in the Raptor de Toronto. 11:32, Gresh and Keefe, WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. And so, Keefe, I know that you and I, when we talked Celtics after that season opener down in New York, that we noted that MSG was rocking in a way that you don't normally see MSG rocking and rolling.
No, it was, there were celebrities besides Spike Lee there. Like, usually the Knicks have been so bad that Spike's the only one, give him credit, that still shows up and goes to the games. But it was, it almost reminded you, like, of a Laker game, the way it was being presented. Like, they were all fired up for it. People were excited. And I don't really know why. I know that they were a playoff team last year.
Hope. They
is
have,
there?
They
is there really?
They have hope.
I guess. To me, there's two really good teams in the East, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. And then there's a bunch of teams, maybe 3 through 10, so call it 7 teams, that are all right around the same. And somebody will emerge and you know, have a better record than everybody else, obviously. But I don't know. Like, I don't look at the Knicks, to me, cannot win an NBA title. And yet you would have thought the way the reaction were was that they're expected to.
I mean, JD and the Crooked Shots have trained those people down
that
– maybe if they got a chance to get an arrow that's straight, then maybe they have a chance to.
Although
be
Charles
able to
Oakley
win.
Wasn't there, right? Didn't he?
No,
he's
Charles,
banned from the building. I believe.
I think they settled,
lifted that,
but I'm not sure if he's allowed. Only if Patrick Ewing is there. To
but
be
they're
able
all
to
fired up, and you're like, okay, you got Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier in your starting lineup.
In fact,
it doesn't reek of championship to me.
And of course, the people in New York tried to tie in the Boston element as well.
Sure.
And after the Knicks got the win, their fans took to the streets thereafter.
Double f***ing overtime! What the f***, baby? New York is f***ing back!
Knicks are here, baby! The Knicks are f***ing here, baby!
Fresh out the garden, baby! We're taking it all the way!
We had DeBlasio, we had Cuomo, it was rough s***, but we have the Knicks!
Done New York, Knicks run New York City!
Bing bong!
Tell me a little something, KD! Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
Let's go Knicks! Let's go Knicks! Let's go Knicks! Let's go Knicks!
Real talk, I'm from New York, and you know what? Tom Brady's a f***ing bitch! Tom Brady, yo!
Wow, that's uncomfortable.
Where the bread at, Tom Brady? I need some bread! He owe me!
Boston! Yo, you thought Trae Young was still good? He still ain't good at Dyke, man. You're smoking on that Boston pack tonight, you right?
Trae Young! Trae Young!
And apparently they never won a basketball game before in New York.
Trae Young is in their head. Trae Young in the Knicks last year, that was the only real good rivalry that we saw in the playoffs. So they hate Trae Young. They hate Tom Brady still, which is great. It probably has something to do with them beating the Jets year in and year out.
Well, and neither football team in New York has a quarterback, so let's yell about Tom Brady.
But my God, like, the Knicks are back.
We had Cuomo!
Because they had double, it's amazing, though, because my point is the Celtics, they're fine. Like, they're above average.
Yep.
They are one of those teams that I mentioned that is going to finish anywhere between 3-10 in the East. So it's not like they just beat Giannis. It's not like they just beat Durant and then be like, hey, KD, aren't you upset you didn't sign with the Knicks? Don't think so. The Nets are better than the Knicks still. But listen, it's one of 82. And if you're going to react that way to every win, God bless you. You know, you're going to have a heck of a time. You're going to have a heck of a time.
I mean, God forbid if Kyrie had gone to the Knicks.
But how about,
and made an actual difference or had been sitting out. Some of those people would be losing their mind. But so that was the reaction.
But Tom Brady's a f***ing bitch.
No, man. All right. I mean, it's neither here nor there.
By the way,
Trae Young. I love how they turn out a Trae Young. You think Trae Young's good? I'm like, yeah, I kind of do.
How weak sauce is that guy from New York is yelling about a former Patriots quarterback?
Like, oh, yeah, real bad.
Right?
Right.
Like, how about, you know, Mac Jones sucks. All right, fine.
Okay, Shimon
be standing there fist pumping with him.
Because, you know, like at Fenway, for example, they got on A-Rod, but that's because A-Rod was there. They wouldn't just break out an A-Rod or a Jeter chant here in Boston. But that guy's he's pumped up for the Knicks. Like what's the Knicks season going to be? Make the playoffs, lose first round.
Oh yes, another first round playoff run. They'd be
but they're fired up about it. Good for them.
So now we need to keep our eyes out for when the Knicks lose a big game and everyone's just depressed.
Good point.
That's going to happen.
Because that will absolutely happen. By the way, that game with the Knicks over the Celtics.
Yeah. It was a monster.
It was the Four Letter Network's second most watched season opening Wednesday game in 18 years.
It
was a good game.
Tad under 2 that million helps. Viewers. And the viewership for ESPN's season opening NBA doubleheader was the best since 2017. And by the way, that game against the Celtics, the most watched regular season Knicks game in New York, a national game, since 2017.
Wow.
So it goes to show. So it was great. The whole, why are Knicks fans losing their minds? Well, there you go. Again, they made the playoffs last year. They think they have hope.
Yeah,
they
beat
the Celtics. You know, everything Boston sucks. So therefore, they're running the streak.
It's a good matchup for them. I mean, it's not versus the Nets or the Lakers, I guess. But Celtics play Boston. Why not? But it's just funny because neither one of those teams feel like they're, in that top five in the NBA, which is maybe where you get that reaction from. Either the Knicks are, or they just beat a team that's in that group. But neither is the case.
Don't you think, though, that with Boston having real superstars, I mean, if you're a Knicks fan and you're looking at both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, it's like, boy, I'd love to have one of those guys. Because I don't know if there's anybody on the Knicks right now that we would look at and say, oh, my God, I would love to have that guy on this team.
I mean, I would take Julius Randle, but I mean, he's worse than Tatum and Brown.
No doubt. And it's the whole, are you sold on that guy as to being he was their best player last year.
Yeah, no, he definitely was.
But does that mean you're a really good basketball team?
No, you're not.
Whereas we look at it with Tatum, that if he breaks through and has a top five season, it could very much change everything. And that does get us to tonight against Toronto. So you know the familiarity, obviously, with the Raptors. And for me tonight, Keith, it's all about how will Jason Tatum respond? Mm-hmm. Will Jason Tatum go into business for himself and say, no, I had a bad night, so I'm going to stand out here and shoot the basketball, and if I get hot, you better keep feeding me? Or is this guy going to balance his game out a little bit, actually drive to the bucket, get to the free throw line, and do it in a way that is constructive to helping the rest of that offense continue to grow?
Yeah, and I think he's not going to shoot as poorly as he did in the first game either. Like, that's one of those things. So, yeah, I would always like him to attack the basket a little bit more, but he's not going to shoot. What was the number? 6 of 20, just in uncontested shots?
6 for 22 uncontested. That's not Jason
Tatum. So that'll
be
better. Like, that alone will be better. Plus, as much as we were just piling on the Knicks, they're a lot better than the Raptors. This Raptors team blows.
Not bad. They're not good.
And just think about it. A couple of years ago, they win the title, but Kawhi Leonard leaves the very next year. Kyle Lowry's gone, and Siakam is hurt. So they got
all
nobody.
The time, it
they
feels
got
like,
nobody.
Right?
And so they got, Fred Van Fleet is there.
Scrappy young player, not young, scrappy veteran player who will probably be traded somewhere at the deadline.
But if he's your best player, like it was fun when he was the fourth or fifth best player on the Raptors, they were dangerous.
Yep.
But when he's your best player, like the Celtics should, and again, if you're all about beating the teams that are worse than you and then kind of splitting with the teams that are up there at the top, that's a formula for a good season, then they should have no problem with the Raptors tonight.
Someone on the text said, Gresh, did you forget there are three teams in
New
York?
No. Come on. They said Grush.
Oh.
Grush.
Yeah. I just figured that's a typo. Like Scrim, Grush, Keith.
It auto-corrected to Grush.
Yeah,
Grush,
right. I don't know why the U. That's a weird one.
Grush.
Was he really trying to jab at you, John, with the whole three teams in New York thing? Or for your, it's a... You had the Red Sox.
Stop it. No.
Red Sox
nope.
at 9
nope.
or something
this is on
like
you.
That.
Sox
at
9.
You're
just saying. The one right
Sox
underneath.
Sox 9.
Well, the one right underneath it says 3 through 10 would be 8 teams, Keith. More math.
I didn't. Oh, 3 through 10 would be 8.
I actually counted to make sure. Like, I actually counted to make sure before I did.
That's Keith Law.
Yeah.
No. Curse you, math.
That's
3
right.
through 10 is 18.
3 through 10 is 18.
Son of a.
So we've had a bad movie reference. We've had bad math.
How can that
bad
be?
Bad spelling.
10 minus 3 is 7. How can it be? I'm kidding. Son of a gun.
All right. I'm pretty decent at math.
So that's the big difference. Right. I would never suggest that I am.
So is Ricky Seals Jones.
Ricky Snails.
Snails Jones. Ricky Snails Jones. Good God
Holy
almighty.
Holy smokes.
What a week we've had.
Ricky
by the way.
Snails Jones.
Oh, the week in review, by the way, we probably could have started now. It is a there's a lot of stuff in there. It's going to be, we'll do the best we can with it.
That's right. We'll cheat a little time on each end. Yeah. Yes. Those things aren't watched very much, so we can slide around a little bit, apparently, on the old hourly clock and schedule and make it work with whatever we need to. By the way, when you leave work, make sure you are listening to us on 93.7 FM if you're in Boston, or if you're down Southern Way a little bit, 103.7 FM in Providence, and of course you can get us in Worcester, Springfield, Cape in the Islands, Keene, New Hampshire, and up in Maine, and anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. If you have a car that doesn't have wind-up windows or an 8-track, you're probably able to plug your phone right into your radio, if need be, to where you can listen to us anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. And what else you need to get ready for the Sunday game against the Jets are Keefe's Keys, which is next.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Gresh, Keith, what is going to be a couple of keys?
And now,
what are your two keys tonight?
Keith presents.
So you're basically listing like 10 things, and out of those 10, 4 of them come correct. And you're like see, I told you.
Keith's keys.
Today's keys to the game.
Keith's keys.
Time for the keys to the game.
Keys to tonight's game.
Who's going
to
win?
Probably one of the worst segments I've ever heard on Boston Radio.
Only the keys can tell.
There's your key right there.
Keith's keys.
It's Keith's keys.
Oh, boy, here we go. Week 7 in the NFL. Patriots 2-4 taking on the 1-4 New York Jets at Gillette Stadium. 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Here are your keys to the Jets. Keep in mind the following. Patriots currently minus 7. They are 7-point favorites, over under 42.5, which is the lowest Sunday total on the board.
Oh, my.
Yeah, they're not expecting a lot of points. Last night's game was a lower number, the Browns and Broncos.
But that's Thursdays.
That is Thursday. And Monday Night Football this week, which is who? Seahawks and somebody
Saints.
Seahawks and Saints is the same number right now. So they're expecting a few points in that one as well.
Interesting.
Here we go. The Patriots have won 11 straight games against the New York Jets.
Ah,
11 straight.
11.
Mac Jones is undefeated against fellow rookie quarterbacks.
Oh, that's a big nugget right there. Because they're all better than him, according to Sean.
Well, I don't know about Davis Mills.
Hey, listen.
I never once said Davis Mills was
all
better.
All right, I won't be blasphemous then.
Mac Jones has passed for 1,472 yards during the first 6 games and is on pace for 4,170. He leads all rookie quarterbacks in passing yards and completions. Only 3 rookie quarterbacks have ever passed for at least 4,000 yards. Can you name them?
Peyton Manning? It's got to be recent rookies. At least that's what I'm going to go
Justin
with.
Justin Herbert?
Correct.
Baker Mayfield?
Andrew Luck?
Correct.
Matt Ryan?
Cam Newton?
Correct.
Cam Newton, the only time he threw for 4,000 yards was his rookie year, where he just took the league by storm. And then Herbert did it last year, and Luck has the record. I thought Mayfield did it, too. He didn't. He had good numbers, though. I think he might have the most touchdown passes
he
or something.
He did until Herbert broke the touchdown.
Yeah.
That's the year I remember of Cam.
Now, again, do you give Mac credit if he does it in a 17-game season versus a 16-game season? Maybe not.
I would say we'd have to look at the numbers after 16 to make him even Steven.
After 6 games, Mac Jones's completion percentage is 71.1, the best completion percentage for a season by a rookie quarterback is 67.76 for the whole year. Who was that?
Herbert?
Chad Pennington?
Dak Prescott.
Wow.
Dak Prescott.
That is something.
All right, here we go. Keys to the Patriots-Jets game.
When you're a Jet, you're a Jet all the way.
The last 3 times he's played the Jets, J.C. Jackson has a pick. How do you like that?
Ooh.
He has a pick tsunami.
Bad QBs.
That helps. Speaking of, Jets quarterback Zach Wilson leads the NFL in interceptions, and his team didn't even play last week.
Wow. Are you that bad?
Wilson also owns the worst quarterback rating in the league at 62.9. If you doubled that, it would be Russell Wilson's QB rating.
Oh, my God. But the kid can run around, though.
He can. The Patriots are 0-4 at home. Tom Brady never lost 4 home games in a season.
Oh, my word.
That's ever.
Sobering.
The worst season Brady ever had, a couple times he went 5-3 at home. Never, ever. And they're 0-4 to start. And the Patriots have a 2-4 record, but just as important, they are 2-4 against the spread.
Well, at least they're consistent.
They covered week 2 with a 19-point win over the Jets. And, of course, they kept it close enough against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, last week was a bad beat. You figure you're getting a field goal in overtime. Shaim doing a shimmy in there scared me.
If the Patriots don't pick up a first down or score points on either the first, second, or third down, they won't go for it on fourth.
When you're a Jet, you're a Jet all the way.
There you go. Those are your keys to Patriots, Jets. Add it all up. Where are you leaning right now? Patriots minus 7.
Oh, a Patriots cover. I can't
That's
trust.
More of a Jets take, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
It's now, more of a Jets can't score more than 14.
Yeah.
Unless there's some extenuating circumstance.
Well, because even in week 2, it never really felt like they were in complete control. And they weren't dominating the game, but they won by 19.
Right.
You know, because I remember even doing when we did our halftime show at Gresh Keefe on Twitter. We did a little quick little halftime show there.
That's right.
And we didn't feel great about it week 2 against the Jets, and yet they still won that game pretty comfortably. I know Zach Wilson threw 4 picks in that game.
We're going through a perception judgment, yeah. I think, Keith. Like, yeah. Just say, you know, there's the whole what used to be, and then there's the Cam year, and then there's like, well, this is what our perception of Patriots football should be, but this year it's going to be a little
so
different.
So confusing. But I think I feel probably I would take Patriots minus 7. I feel
say,
even
you,
better on the under 42.5.
I was going to say, are you couching? It felt like for a second there you were like,
I'm couching it a little bit. But I would take that one, but the bet I feel better about is the over-under. Scrim?
Yeah, I'm all about the Pats laying the 6.5 this week. This is the first time all year that I'm betting on the Pats to cover a spread. That's how confident I am in this.
There you go.
Yeah.
How about that?
And a lot of that is very anti-Jets, and that's okay.
Yep.
John, will the Jets make noise in the AFC this year?
When
I mean, they could later in the season.
Jet all the way.
Because you can't rule them out for the wild card.
You can't rule them out. No. That's right. Can't rule them out.
What are you going
to
do?
I also said to play spoiler in that article. Rich doesn't really say that part on the air.
Well, it's not in the headline.
That was in there.
Well,
so.
That's right. Wait, for those who are just...
Well, Rich will pull up the article and read the article if it's to crap on me.
I did that
as if
once
I can't
already.
Crap
I'm, not,
myself.
I'm not giving you another
But you just said the headline. So.
Sorry. You're not using the material
yeah.
over.
Yeah. I only have so many clicks on that website, right?
Oh, well, that is true. Yeah.
You only get 5 a day.
Yeah, email Rob Bradford. He'll open them up for you.
Oh, no, it's a free site? Oh, good.
Yes.
Go to WEEI.com. You
Rob's
can read
got like 10 laptops down in Houston with him right now, just clicking on the same article.
It's really one of the last sites out there that you have unlimited clicks, so get in there.
And what is that like for Rob Bradford to go through security with all those laptops?
Just wait till they put a paywall up in front of my columns.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Like John,
it's premium content.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
WEEI insider.
John Shush.
His insider account.
WEEI writer. Isn't that what writer. Mina Kimes went with?
Yep. No, all WEEI said that.
That's right.
That was the WEEI take.
Shime, can you give us an update on that hideous podcast that you listen
take
to?
Take it from WEEI.
Yeah, nice.
I got nothing.
We head to the lunchtime hour. It's been that kind of week. Week in review coming up at 12:30. But we have the American League Championship Series, the Patriots, the C's, the B's, all in action this weekend. We'll touch on as much of it as we can next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.